Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be back with you today, especially because I am back with you from the Commonwealth of Virginia. I am glad to be back home, but this ain't going to last long because I'm leaving again tomorrow. I will still be here, Lord willing, though, tomorrow morning live, 7 a.m., and even though I won't be in Virginia, I'll be preaching Sunday morning again, Lord willing, at 9 a.m. live here on Facebook Live, and then, of course, everything will be posted on sermonaudio.com shortly thereafter, if that's how you are happening to tune in. No matter how you are joining me or when you are joining me, I'm glad that you are. Good morning, Jenny. I see other people are joining in, too. Again, no matter what your what means that you're gathering with it, whether it's sermon audio, whether it's Facebook, whether it's whatever, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that I am here, and I'm glad to have this opportunity with you. I hope you've been enjoying this. We've kind of switched gears, and instead of taking topics, we've been looking at the overall topic of parables, namely, and now what is a parable? It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we've been going through Matthew chapter 13. Yesterday, in fact, we were covering verses 24 through 30, and then we skipped over to 36 because we saw the parable of the weeds and also Jesus' explanation of the parable of the weeds. And it's this fascinating thing that Jesus is talking about the reality of the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is like, that the master, the landowner, goes out and he plants his seed, and it's good seed, and it's wheat, and the harvest is planned out, everything is great. But after everybody has gone to sleep and the good seed has been planted, the enemy comes along and plants weeds. They sprout up along with the wheat. Servants come to the master and say, "What do we do about this? Should we pull them up?" And the master said, "No, wait until the harvest." All right, and of course, Jesus, as we saw yesterday, went on to explain this to his disciples, right? And he explained to them that the earth is the land, that his people are the wheat, that he is the one that sowed the good seed, and at the same time, the storehouse that the wheat will be gathered into represents his Father's house. It represents heaven. However, he points to a powerful reality that, yes, while his people are wheat, there are weeds. And the destination for weeds is not a good place. They're gathered up first. They're bundled together and they're tossed into the fire. This points out a reality of Jesus' teaching. You know, again, I don't know how we got into this thing. Maybe it was the Doobie Brothers, right? You remember they saying, "Jesus is just all right with me"? Maybe that's it, and I don't know. Listen. As I have talked about in here before, there is absolutely zero doubt that Jesus is the best friend that you will ever have, okay? As we've talked about in the book of Hebrews, there's something very special about Jesus other than the fact that, oh, I don't know, that he's God the Son, other than the fact that he gave everything of himself for us. The author of Hebrews talks about Jesus' singular ability, his unique ability, nobody else is like him, to understand exactly what we're going through, because he's been tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet he was without sin, and therefore he can have compassion on us. Nobody will ever do for you what Jesus has done for you. However, to take that and to equate it to Jesus being your chum, your pal, right, that doesn't square away with what the scriptures teach, and also this doesn't square away with the fact that Jesus is God the Son, that Jesus is going to judge, as we're going to see, as we especially go through Matthew. This is just one example. He's the Lord of the harvest, and he separates the wheat from the tares. So this idea that Jesus is your best buddy, and you don't have to care one lick about him, but you're going to be good for all eternity? I'm sorry, that's not how this thing works. And again, I'm not trying to be fire and brimstone here. I have a job, and the job is to take what's in God's Word and to explain it, right? To be the herald, H-E-R-A-L-D, not H-A-R-O-L-D. If your name is Harold, then that's great too. All right, so going along with that theme, what Jesus is doing here, especially in Matthew chapter 13, is he's using parables to illustrate what the kingdom of God is like. Remember, we started talking about that a couple of days ago. I said that the number one subject that Jesus talks about more than anything else is the kingdom of God. Now, why would, of all the things Jesus could talk about, why would it be that? And especially in the light of the current turmoil that we're facing, a lot of people are throwing Jesus' name around here, like, well, what would Jesus do? And Jesus would never do this. And it, you know, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you saw yesterday that I put a meme on there about how you need to suit up in a hazmat suit to go into any comment section these days, just because, oh my goodness, it's disastrous. But nevertheless, why would Jesus spend so much time talking about the kingdom of God? We talked about this yesterday, but the reality is that this life is a glimmer. This life, it's not all that there is. And as a result, because the kingdom of heaven is what's eternal, the kingdom of God is eternal, because there is an eventuality that all of us face, that either by Jesus' return or by our exit, that we will one day meet the Lord. And in eternity, we will either spend eternity with Him in glory, or we will spend eternity separated from Him in hell. Well, what more important thing is there to talk about? With the understanding that right now is temporary. I'm not saying that life isn't important, okay? Please understand me. That's not what I'm trying to get across here. Life is very important. Life is very precious. But y'all, eternity awaits. Eternity is one of those things that we're not even capable of fully grasping it. I mean, how do we think about a time when there's not going to be time? That in itself is brain melting. But eternity exists, right? Now, we are finite creatures trying to contemplate the infinite, and that's always difficult stuff. But this is one of those things that we have to take on faith. Eternity is on the horizon for us all. And the reality is, none of us really know when that time is coming. I mean, we take so many things for granted every day. You going to drive on the interstate today? You're probably going to take for granted that a semi-truck isn't going to blow a tire and it's not going to come through the windshield and take you out like that. But that's just one example. Health-wise, we don't know what we face. And I'm not trying to be morbid here. I'm just trying to point to the reality that life is short. And because life is short, two things are very important. Number one, make sure that you have your eternal destination secured. And the only way to do that is by having faith in Jesus alone for your salvation. But number two, look at the life that you're living. Is the way that you're living your life worth it? That's for another devotional, but I think it's something that we all ought to consider. Now, where do we move on to today? Surprise, surprise, which is no surprise at all, but I am so grateful for it. Jesus continues on, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13 again. We got parable after parable in Matthew chapter 13, and we've still got a few more to go. But Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start reading in verse 31, because he's gone from talking about the parable of the sower to the parable of the weeds. And now, if you're there already, Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 31, again, you may have those little nifty headings, and you may see that it is the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. The mustard seed and the yeast. Okay? So Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 31, we're going to hear a very familiar phrase from Jesus. Verse 31, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like. All right, now, pause. Again, this is this same pattern that Jesus is following where he is revealing what the kingdom of heaven is like. Kingdom-minded, okay? So Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like, this is verse 31 of Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. And that in itself is quoting Psalm 78. Now, let's start at the start. Again, these parables, a little bit different for us. Jesus continues with this agricultural trend. And he does this for very good reason. These are the things that people would have understood in Jesus' time. He uses agricultural metaphors because it was, by and large, an agricultural society. So it makes sense that he would do that. All right. In another setting, he might use another metaphor. And in fact, we're going to see that he does use other metaphors based on the setting that he finds himself in. But even though this is an agricultural metaphor, and I understand that, again, we've got people all over the world that are listening to these things, and I'm so grateful that you are joining us in this, but I realize that you may not be in an agricultural setting, right? And these things may seem mystical to you, but again, you get the concept of seeds, right? Mustard seeds is not something we are so much familiar with. But let's take a common metaphor that we might be familiar with, a single acorn, right? You take a single acorn and it can result in the mightiest of oak trees. What a beautiful metaphor that is. And it's the same concept that Jesus is using here with the mustard seed. The idea is that the mustard seed is incredibly small, but then you plant it and a tree sprouts up. And not only does it produce more mustard seed, it provides a perch for the birds. It has all sorts of practical uses. So that's the first metaphor that he uses in this parable. But then the next one that he uses is one that we may understand a little bit more, and that is the parable or the metaphor of yeast. I don't know if you like cooking. I love cooking. And Amanda, my wife, recently has gotten into baking bread. And y'all, there's a lot of fascinating things that happen when you cook. Really, it's like science experiments, and it's practical science. But yeast especially, or maybe you don't cook at all. Maybe you like to watch the Food Network. You know, I remember it used to be that was the only thing that wasn't offensive, but so much for that anymore. But nevertheless, maybe you've seen especially one of these shows like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or How It's Made or something like that, Unwrapped, where they go into like a commercial bakery and you see them with one of these huge mixers, right? And they're pouring in these bags of flour, like 50 pounds of flour, right? And then when it comes time to add the yeast, they usually have like a little ramekin of it. And you think, well, what good is that going to do? But they mix the dough up and then they put in the yeast and then they let it proof. And you see that it wasn't a small amount to begin with, but then this thing just explodes because of what yeast does in the proofing process to bread, right? And if you're curious about that, go watch the Good Eats episode on bread because it's fascinating what he does with that. But nevertheless, the point is that just like the mustard seed, the yeast is a relatively small amount. That's what he's illustrating here where he talks about the woman that takes a large amount of flour but then uses a small amount of yeast. And whether it's the mustard seed producing a giant tree or whether it's a small amount of yeast, again, go to the grocery store. You see these little packets of yeast. I don't know, what is that, an ounce? Maybe an ounce of yeast? You know, and it affects everything in such a dramatic fashion. Now, I realize that in other places, Jesus uses yeast as a metaphor for evil. That's not, disconnect, all right? Remember what parables are. They're illustrations. But the idea is that something small can amount to something so large. Now, what in the world is he talking about? That's the simple understanding there. But what in the world is he talking about? Well, remember the context here. Remember what I said last week. When you're doing Bible study, always read in light of what comes before and what comes after. Think about the parable that we talked about yesterday. Remember what it was. Like we talked about, it's the parable of the weeds, where you have wheat that represents God's people, where you have the master, the landowner, planting the seed. Everything is going great, but then the weeds start to show up. And it represents those that don't belong to the Lord. It represents evil that is present in the world around us. Now, the promise is given at the end of the parable of the weeds, as we saw, that a harvest is coming, and the wheat is going to be separated from the weeds. But realize this too. When the Lord gives promises about his work, it's not just about the end of time, okay? It's not just about how we're finally going to see this. Everything is going to fall apart, and then one day it's all going to be better all of a sudden. No, the Lord is working in the world around us today. With both yeast and the mustard seed, you see examples of something that starts out oh so small, but it grows and it grows and it grows. Y'all, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven being like something very small that results in something very large, what he's doing there is he's pointing to the reality of his work that will come to fruition, yes, that when the kingdom comes in all of its fullness, we will enjoy those benefits. But at the same time, he's pointing to what he's doing in our world right now. All right? Now, I don't know about y'all, but very personally, and I don't remember exactly what it was yesterday. Now I do, but I'm not going to bring it up in here because I don't want to create division. But I heard yet another thing on the news yesterday as it relates to Virginia. And it's not the worst thing on earth that I found out about, but it just left me scratching my head and feeling so weary of the world and wondering how people could be so confused and just so much ignorance and stupidity that's out there. In essence, last night I was pretty down over the weeds, okay? But immediately after talking about the weeds, Jesus reveals this powerful truth about what God is doing right now, that things can start oh so small, but at the same time they grow and they grow. And even though we may not see it, the end result is amazing. I love Old Providence for so many reasons, actual facilities, actual church building. One of the reasons is that on our grounds we have these gigantic, gigantic trees. And I think back to when they were planted or what it must have looked like. Now, Old Providence got started back in 1742, right? That's a long time ago for the United States. And I'm blessed to be the pastor there. But we enjoy these trees and they're just so magnificent. But you think, well, what did they look like to people in 1742? You know, I'm sure that they were starting to mature, but they looked like just any other little old tree. But now look at them. Y'all, God does that so often with stuff in this life that we don't really see the end result, but we take on faith the fact that God is working. There's really two things that we ought to conclude from what Jesus is talking about here with something small that results in something large. Number one, we should see that God is at work and make sure that we're not becoming discouraged. Now, the question is, why does Jesus offer this parable? I think that's why. I don't know for certain. He doesn't give the rationale behind why he gives it. But I think it's certainly plausible that Jesus is doing this because think about what's really going on with Jesus' ministry now. He has crowds following him, but in terms of actual investment, in terms of actual people with him, the movement is very small at this point. He's got a few disciples, and they got some issues. But in giving this parable about something starting out small, resulting in something so amazingly huge and powerful and great, that the kingdom of heaven is even like this, that's encouraging for me. But another thing is, not only should we not be discouraged, we shouldn't grow weary. And there's all sorts of Bible passages that talk about this. Zechariah 4:10 is a fascinating one. It talks about not despising the day of small things. And I want to encourage you to do the same. We can't get into Zechariah and what's going on there, but the idea is simple. Don't ever get to the point that you look at the world around you and you just end up saying, well, nothing's worth it, it's all lost. And forget about the world around us. That just happens to be the problem du jour. Maybe it's problems in your life. You know, sometimes things can blow up, personally speaking, in your life, and the end result is you just say, that's it, check please. Not that you're going to do anything rash, but you just end up engaging the I don't care anymore factor in your life. It happens all the time. People give up. But as God's word instructs in Zechariah to not despise the day of small things, so Jesus points to here about the kingdom of heaven that things start small and they grow and they grow. In addition, Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 gives a very poignant command. And it says, do not grow weary in doing good. Y'all, if we focus on the weeds in the world around us all the time, if we focus on everything that is happening, the disasters that are occurring, the injustice of, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to address stuff. Please don't misunderstand me. But if all we do is focus on problems, then we're going to miss the Lord working around us, and we'll discount the small things. Y'all, there's so many questions right now with all the craziness that's brewing out there. Well, how do we change it? How do we stop it? It doesn't matter what your opinion is. How do we actually change the world? It's not by grand gestures. It's not by these drastic things. It's through the small stuff. It's through interacting with one another. It's through loving somebody enough to actually invest in them. It's through spending time in communication, not posting stuff on social media that burns the other person. Have you ever posted anything? And I have. I'm guilty as charged because I've done this. But have you ever posted anything on Facebook and you before you hit post, or whether it's Instagram or whether it's Twitter, doesn't matter which one it is, and you say, "All right, now that I'm posting this, people are going to see this and they're going to say, ah, yes, I have never considered this thing before. I am now thus enlightened, and therefore I shall completely change my life stance." Come on, y'all. Don't take the internet too seriously. Don't have keyboard courage. That's what I've been calling this for years. Keyboard courage, where you have courage inspired by the fact that you're on a keyboard instead of actually dealing with somebody. It's not the grand gestures. It's not the posturing. If I had to pick one word to describe what's going on in the world today, it's posturing. Everybody's posturing. Everybody's got to give some kind of show. It's not like that. That's not how anything's going to change. It's through having conversations. It's through loving one another. That's why Jesus, I believe, uses this metaphor to point to what the kingdom of God is really like. It starts small. It starts with you volunteering to be a Sunday school teacher and impacting children. It starts through you investing in the next generation by having simple conversations, by showing kindness. And those are just two examples that immediately come to mind. There are so many others. And I think what Jesus is really getting at here is, just because you don't see it, as it applies to the kingdom of God, just because you don't see things moving forward, just because it may look like the whole world is falling apart, that doesn't mean that it is. The Lord is working. So take heart in that fact. The kingdom of heaven is coming, y'all. It's coming, and it may be here a lot sooner than we think. May it be so. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you are working. Forgive us for despising the small things. We might not say we despise them, but if we believe that they're useless and we don't try, if we don't reach out, then we might as well despise them, though we would never say it. Forgive us for becoming weary in doing good. It's so easy to look at the craziness of the world around us and to lose hope, to lose heart. But that's not what you've called us to do, Father, because we know how this all ends. Now, we don't know what's going to happen before that, and we pray that you would be merciful. But we thank you, Father, that you're in charge, that we can trust you. And no matter what stage of growth that mustard seed is in, it's growing. No matter if the yeast has just been added or we can see the proofed bread, or, Father, if the proofed bread has had the air punched out of it, it's still working. Again, give us wisdom by your Holy Spirit and a sense of your presence to see it. And in so seeing it, to keep going forward. I pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, I'd like to thank you for being here with me today. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock live right here on Facebook and then thereafter on Sermon Audio. I hope that you all have a wonderful day.